Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, we're also streaming not only on the Odyssey app, but you can also hear us live on the TuneIn radio app as well as iHeartRadio. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to all. Joining us live from Honolulu, Hawaii, he, of course, is the host of VSiN Primetime, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, the VSiN College Football Betting Tailgate Show. Aloha, Timothy. How are you?
Aloha, Jeffrey. Yes, I'm looking out at the lovely Pacific Ocean right now. It is a perfect day in paradise.
So happy for you.
I'm about to head over to the stadium here in an hour or two before our live broadcast, live from the Ching Complex on the campus of the University of Hawaii.
So do y'all have a set?
So we're going to be, we have a makeshift set. We'll be in the press box there in Hawaii. So our backdrop tonight will be the stadium. And then tomorrow we are going to have a pretty glorious backdrop. We're still working on the final details, but tomorrow afternoon, if you've got a second screen experience, check out what we've got to offer for a special college football betting tailgate show.
Does it feel so? Wait, hold on. Have y'all adjusted the start time?
Yeah, we are not going to be on it.
I was gonna say, because right, that would be literally be what, going live at 3 a.m.
Yeah, we had to call a quick audible. So moving forward, once week one is here, my tailgate show will start at 8 a.m. Central Time.
All right.
Tomorrow, we will be starting at noon Central Time during Iowa State and Kansas State.
Okay, so we're going to have to get all the plays in for that game. All right, I wanted to ask you this because I don't know. I'm now, you know, when you get to, all right, we got to start making some bets here. Did Iowa State somehow go from being square to now? I think Kansas State is square, but it's too late. I've already made the bet.
I don't know. I mean, I go back and forth on this game because, you know, I think it's – I don't want to say it's easy, but I understand the gravitation towards taking Iowa State plus the points because this is the Big 12, and it's a wildly unpredictable season. I'll be honest, the more I kind of dig into this game, the more questions I have about Iowa State.
So that's how I wound up. Like, to me, this was my logic, because I really was, like, trying to not go. I'm trying to keep the cards smaller this year, which we both know that's not going to happen, but at least I can say it week zero.
That's a failure.
Yeah, no, of course. No, that's never going to happen. But the logic for me simply was, I've seen Iowa State have good skill position players. Every time they tell me and they lose the skill position players, don't worry, we're a program of development. We're going to keep coming. We're going to keep having guys. They stink that next year. And I think Kansas State underachieved last year, but honestly, what I really loved was Iowa State was unwilling to do this game if they gave up a home game. Then Kansas State basically, Kleiman basically was like, anytime, anywhere, any place. They gave up a home game, so I was like, all right, that just makes me like Kansas State more. And I think that they probably have more firepower. Don't you think that's right?
Well, to your initial point about Iowa State, they lost not one, but two second-round pick wide receivers.
Yes.
Iowa State, not Alabama, not Georgia, Iowa State. They lost Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, both who had over 1,000 yards each last year. So that's where I keep kind of circling back to. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Rocco Becht has been playing football for a decade in Ames, but who is he throwing the football to? And they're trying to play up, you know, this East Carolina transfer and this UCF transfer. And maybe, you know, but that's not what Iowa State does, right? And that's where I circle back to Kansas State. And once again, I have not personally bet the game yet. You know, it's sitting there at 3. I think I'll probably get involved, because how can you not have action on the first college football game of the year?
Especially when it's in the country of your ancestors.
Of course. Yes. And like, this is a big game, man. It's my favorite conference. I love the Big 12. This is my conference.
It's my favorite conference to lose money on now that we don't have the Pac-12.
So if you look back at last year, Kansas State, do you realize they outgained their opponents in 12 of their 13 games? The only game they didn't outgain their opponent, they actually won. It was the Tulane game, that crazy Tulane game.
Oh, yeah, where Tulane somehow found a way to not cover despite leading in the fourth quarter and getting two scores?
Correct.
That game? I have no idea what happened in that one.
But if you look at the four losses Kansas State had last year, they were -8 in turnover margin, and they outgained their opponents in all four of those games. And then, you know, I think I remember talking to you about it when Big 12 Media Days were in Vegas a year ago, and I had a little too aggressive blogger of Kansas State, like, in my face saying, well, how does Avery Johnson not win the Heisman? I'm like, I don't know, because he's Avery Johnson, and no Kansas State player has ever won the Heisman Trophy.
Michael Bishop got close, and Avery Johnson wasn't Michael Bishop.
Michael Bishop, one of my all-time favorite football players. God, I love it. I can't believe that team should have won a national championship.
God,
they lost to, like,
Nebraska?
Someone in the Big 12 championship they had no business losing to on that final weekend.
Was that one of the Colorado?
It was someone. They were a big favorite, and I think they got smoked.
Oh, no. I'll tell you what it was. I can remember exactly what it was. It was Brandon Stewart, who went to Tennessee at the same time as Peyton Manning, and he talked a big game, like, yeah, we got Peyton Manning, but I'm going to be the quarterback. Turns out he was the quarterback at Texas A&M, and then A&M kind of upset him.
That's right. Yeah, there it is. December 5th, double overtime. They would have gone to the national championship, and then they lost that game. And I remember, this is pre-Timmy betting time, but this is the classic. They didn't even make a New Year's bowl game.
Yeah.
They played in the Alamo Bowl, and they lost to Purdue. And it's like, that, ladies and gentlemen, is why situational spots exist in college football. But I digress. Doesn't it feel like Avery Johnson, after, like, what quarterbacks, in your opinion, this year got a ton of hype last year and are getting no hype this year? I think Avery Johnson's on that list.
I think
Dylan Raiola of Nebraska is on that list.
I think I would also include Carson Beck on that list.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, and that's why I'm terrified of that game against Notre Dame, because everyone just thinks he stinks, but his numbers are actually pretty good, and he was a Heisman favorite a year ago. Granted, he played for Georgia, so that helps, but yeah. I think he's going to
have better receivers this year than he had last year.
A lot of unknowns, though, for Miami. Like, I think they lost their, like, top six receivers, but I'll say this. If I'm debating between who do I trust more reloading in the portal, Miami or Iowa State, I'm going to take the boys in Coral Gables in that one.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I guess the other thing that I've talked myself into Avery Johnson, despite never really loving him. I enjoy quarterbacks that can complete passes. He really struggles in that department. But when I found out that he sold his Corvette during the offseason because he was getting back to basics and getting hungry, not going to be as flashy, that did at least give me a little bit more. Because it's like, hey, buddy, your best version of playing quarterback is basically being a glorified Wildcat quarterback, and I don't mean the nickname of your team. I mean, you're basically running the single wing.
Are you able to bet college player props in Tennessee?
So, yes, we are, but a lot of them have very limited exposure.
Okay. Man, I just looked this up. Man, I'm so mad at myself. Avery Johnson to score an anytime touchdown earlier this week was plus 110. It's now minus 175.
Yeah, but wow. I mean, that's one of those other ones. It's like, I think that's easy, but like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like when you get into these games and if they like hit a bunch of explosives, then you're sitting there going, like, he's got 95 rushing yards but doesn't have a touchdown. Like, those are the ones that I always just drive me insane.
I would actually, I am not, and you know this, I am not a big player prop guy. I think if you found some.
I'm definitely
Avery
more
Johnson.
Of a normie bet. Like, for me, getting exotic is like team totals, like a first half team total. That's about as exotic as I get.
So Avery Johnson over under rushing yards, it looks like, and this is FanDuel, is 51.5. And that's a lot for running for a quarterback. Now,
because
you gotta remember,
sacks count,
but you do have to remember they lost DJ Giddens. So his last three games last year, he went for 57, 64, and 72 rushing yards. So he's definitely capable of eclipsing that number. How much does he utilize the legs? But
I mean, I think the other thing you have to remember is, like, I do think Matt Campbell's a good coach. It also suggests to me, like, don't you think you have to dare Avery Johnson to beat you running the ball?
You mean throwing the ball?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm sorry. Stack the box, dare him to throw it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And then I get, you know, how does this game start, right? Does it get off to a slow start? Does it get off to a fast start? You know, that's the thing, too, is, you know, we've got, what, five games tomorrow, if you include Idaho State, UNLV. So, really, four FBS v. FBS games. And how are these games ultimately going to be played? Are they going to be slow? What's the tempo going to be like? So, yeah, I mean...
Clock rules, or was it the year before?
I thought it was... Was it 2 years ago, the third
down? I think you're right. Yeah, I think it's two years ago. I think we'd already had... Because I feel like it was in 2023 where unders were just on fire because nobody had adjusted numbers for the clock rolling.
So if you're looking at the betting market, and once again, the market, it's not always right, but there has been over money that's come in. So this number has gone from 49.5 to 51.5. 51 still out there too. 51 being a key number, right? 27-24 common score there. So it's kind of funny when you look at how this game is lined, where it's like 3 and 51, both being massive key numbers for a total and for a spread. It's like, oh, okay, so wise guys don't really know what to do with this game either, right? I mean, when Iowa State gets to 3.5, it gets scooped up, and then it just sits at 3, which is telling you something. So We'll see.
But they also, they are, the one thing I have noticed is they are, and maybe this happens tomorrow, but nobody's, I haven't seen anyone drop it to 2.5 yet. Have you?
No, no. I don't think we will.
And again, like maybe somebody comes in hard tomorrow, but it feels to me like this game's probably going off at 3.
Well, and, you know, once again, we talk gambling a lot on this show, and, you know, for people who are not in the weeds like you and I are, you got to remember this. Week 0 and week 1 are different than every other week, and here's why. The lines have been up for 2.5 months.
Yeah.
So people have been shaping these games. Now, limits are going to go up tomorrow, meaning you can bet more on it, so you might get a bigger whack at these games. But the sharp guys have already come in and placed their position, right? Stanford, Hawaii, the game that I'm at. This game opened up Hawaii as the favorite, or excuse me, as the underdog.
Yeah.
Now they're the favorite. You know, the total opened up at 55.5. It's now 50.5. Like, the wise guys have already shaped that game. So I'm not saying you can't bet it now, but, you know, you always hear about line value and all of that. Like, the guys who manipulate the market have already sucked it dry. And that's what's so interesting about Iowa State, Kansas State, going back to that game, is like, they clearly are telling you this game's lined probably accurately. And Iowa State, when they get to 3.5, it gets taken back. I think what you asked, will this get to 2.5? I would be surprised, barring some sort of injury.
Yeah, yeah.
That we are,
I'm just saying, based on betting. Not now, if we find out, hey, you know, Avery Johnson's banged up and get, you know, like that. To me, that's a different equation.
But yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm either going to look Kansas State money line, or maybe Iowa State wins the toss and they go down and score.
Yeah, and then you play it live.
K-State. Yeah, it might get K-State plus the points. I mean, that's kind of the good thing about tomorrow's game too, is it's the only show in town. So we're all going to be watching it, and we're going to get ample opportunity to bet it in game if that's the way you'd like to go. But yeah, I mean, look, is it the greatest week 0 ever? No. But we get a top 25 matchup. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, and I'll say this, like, how does the market adjust tomorrow, Jeffrey, when one of these teams wins, right? Because if you're looking at where they're at from a future standpoint in this conference, you've got Kansas State around co-favorite with Arizona State. At
I feel like, aren't they all right around plus 500?
Yeah, so Iowa State's a little bit of a longer shot. So there's six teams that are kind of clumped at the top. It's K-State, Arizona State, Utah, Texas Tech, Baylor, and TCU. And then there's a bit of a drop-off to Iowa State. The winner of this game, what does the market do? Because, man, think about where you're at if you're one of these teams and you win on Saturday in a conference that's wildly unpredictable. Now you've got a tiebreaker against a really good team, and you're heading into the season in a primo spot, you know?
I just feel like it changes way more if Iowa State wins. Because,
yeah,
like, in the end, if K-State wins, yes, they pick up a conference game. And you can make the argument they pick up a conference game that would have been a quote-unquote home game that's being played away. But they haven't played any of the other favorites. So their odds will shorten a little bit, but I feel like if Iowa State gets one, well, then all of a sudden, like, I could see where their odds like decrease in half because they're picking up a game that they were not expected.
Yeah, I think that is.
And they still have their accurate. And they still have their full allotment of home conference games.
Well, it is worth noting, right? So Big 12 is 9 conference games. So Kansas State and Iowa State will both be 4-4. So this was the year that Iowa State was supposed to be on the road 5
times.
Okay,
so this was the flip year.
So both of them are 4-4-1. So they're not like 5-3-1. I think I'd have to double check that, but I think that's accurate.
That actually sounds right.
Yeah.
All right, the other one thing I wanted to talk to you about is the game that you're actually at. And I know everyone's got Stanford, Hawaii on the mind.
Of course.
I ended up not being able to bet it because I really do think Hawaii's become the ultimate SpongeBob SquarePants pick, and I know you're buddies with Timmy Chang, and we both know our boy Timmy needs this one. But there's just something about And maybe it'll just be the obvious pick was the right answer. It happens. Like, you know, like it does. But I was just so gun shy on that one.
Yeah, it's funny. I was sitting with my co-host, Matt Humans, last night. We were having a beverage, and we looked at each other because both of us bet Hawaii, like, in July. Like, I love this spot for Hawaii. I knew Stanford was going to be in trouble, the importance of this game. So I've got them plus money on the money line, and now they're the favorite. So I've got, you know, a good ticket. But then we kind of looked at each other like, man, it does feel like the juice for Hawaii, it's such a massive game, man. It's just,
well, here was my thought. The reason why I got scared off of it, I know Stanford's going to be bad. I'm not trying to spin anyone on Stanford, but I've also seen Stanford go in that's been basically a 3-win or 2-win Stanford, and I've watched them win at Hawaii, and it wasn't particularly close. They still have They still have more quote unquote D1 guys than Hawaii. Can I definitely see Hawaii winning this game? Yes, but that's what just scared me off. That's what scared me off of it.
I mean, Stanford's the ultimate unknown. I mean, they really are, right? I mean, we don't know what they're going to look like. I mean, I
don't even think we know what style of play. Like, that's the other thing with Frank Wright. It's not like, oh, by having Frank Reich as your interim coach, you can predict, like, what style of play. Like, I would assume Frank Wright's going to treat this like coach in high school, whereas he's going to look and see, all right, what can we actually do? We're going to try to do that. But, like, I don't think it's going to be like they're running a particular system.
That's why I think we've seen so much money come in on the under, too, because
yeah, probably try
Stanford,
to just, yeah, you don't want to put the ball in the air.
Well, you want to ugly it up. And to your point, I think Hawaii probably has the better quarterback, and I think they have better wide receivers. But could I be convinced that Stanford has more meat up front?
Yeah,
for sure. And, like, if I'm Stanford, do I just want to make this, like, a brawl? Just ugly, run it, run the clock, bleed it out. Like, I think Hawaii, look, when you think back to the glory years of Hawaii, whether it be Timmy Chang as the quarterback or their best years when Colt Brennan was the quarterback, right? You had the run and shoot, high electric offense, and that's what Timmy wants to run with Hawaii. He's got really good wide receivers. He's got a quarterback that he loves in Micah Elejado. But if you're Stanford, yeah, just ugly it up, you know?
They don't have the same guys up front, but it's like, man, Andrew Luck's involved in this. You're telling me that they're not going to figure out a way to David Shaw this?
Right. So, I mean, once again, I went and I looked at the betting board and I'm like, dang it, I missed out on the total. Like, right, it opened 55.5. It's now 50.5. I mean, that's a 5-point move.
That's a big
move.
Through a couple of key numbers.
First half under. I mean, is this thing ugly to kind of start? I don't know. But yeah, there's also the reality too, where Stanford is just the worst Power Four team in
very,
college football,
very,
and they,
like,
come out and you're just like, whoa, they're really bad.
There's a possibility in my mind that we could see, like, Stanford and Kent State aren't that different.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far.
I'm telling you, man. Like, based on all
Kent
of their
State
losses,
historically is bad.
But I mean, this could be like a MAC team.
So I'll say this. So for those who are unaware of Stanford, because I know most people in Memphis are not up to date on the latest happenings of Stanford football, especially since they stink and they've had, you know, they've had 4 straight 3-9 seasons.
Yes.
Like, they've been bad. They've been bad.
Last year, though, was a better 3-9 than the previous year's 3-9. They were friskier last year.
They beat Syracuse and they beat.
Was it Louisville? Was it Louisville? Was that last year or the year before?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if that was last year. I think it was last year because I think it was in my new house.
So they beat Syracuse on a Friday night up at the Carrier.
Yeah, that
Dome.
Was back when you and I were just, like, taking dogs on Friday nights because, like, they, like, for the first 6 weeks they were like 24-3.
So Syracuse last year beat Stanford last year beat Syracuse, and they beat 19th ranked Louisville.
Yeah. Because that was another reason why Clemson got to backdoor their way into the title game, which backdoored their way into the playoff.
So this Stanford team, to update you folks on it, Troy Taylor, their coach, got fired in, what was it, March?
I can't. It was during spring. It was during spring because, remember, originally they announced that there was an investigation. Andrew Luck came out and said, hey, we've talked about it. He's going to stay the coach. And then, like, over the weekend, he came back and was like, never mind, he's gone.
So it's always interesting to me when you have terrible teams like Stanford, because they were terrible last year, and they lost. Their best receiver was actually a fourth-round pick by the Titans. He was legit. Ayo Manor. Their second best receiver.
That guy was so good that 2 years ago, Travis Hunter couldn't cover him.
Oh, my God. You remember that game?
That was Friday night? That was a phenomenal game.
They came back. They were down like 30-0, and they came back to win that game. So Ayo Manor is gone. He's a fourth-round pick to the Titans. Their second best receiver, Emmett Mosley, he was going to stay. And then Troy Taylor got fired, and he goes to Texas.
Yeah.
So, like, he's a talented dude. Texas picked him up. He's gone. David Bailey, who was their best pro prospect, he's an edge rusher, might be a first-round pick. He rolled. He goes to Texas Tech, money, money. And then their whole offense last year, well, not their whole offense, but a lot of their offense, and folks in your neck of the woods are probably familiar with this because of your affinity with Hugh Freeze, Ashton Daniels went to Auburn. So, like, I don't even know – I just don't know what's on this roster that's of the level of a P4 team. And, like, you know, lastly, their quarterback is a group of five quarterback. He's Ben Gilbranson.
It's like Gil Branson. And, like, I don't even think he knew he could play college football this year. Because remember they had the mass exodus of, like, three quarterbacks in spring, not just Daniels. Like, they lost like their true freshman that they had signed, that Luck apparently had, like, read personally. Yeah, I think he's wearing 47 at BYU now. I still, the more I've thought about that, I hate it. That kid better be awesome. If you're gonna wear 47, you better be awesome. Because think about it, each part of 47 is a better number than he could have worn. 4 is a good quarterback number. 7 is a great quarterback number. 47 is not a great quarterback number.
The more I think about it, and, like, I guess Hawaii could come out and just light them up. I don't think that's. I think if you're if you're Frank Reich, don't you just try to make this ugly in the first half.
I am not snapping the football until at least three is on the play clock. I am only throwing in very advantageous positions, and I'm going to punt the football all the time. I mean, yeah. I literally would just David Shaw it.
I think if I'm looking to make a bet, so I have Hawaii money line, I think I'm going to go first half under 24.5. Like, there's a chance this Stanford team just comes out and you're like, oh, my God, they're horrible.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. Like,
the only thing that worries me about the under, though, is we always do this move of, you know, bad teams can turn it over, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, like, here's the thing. In the Hawaii game notes, their quarterback, Micah Elejato, he has not thrown an interception in a game since his junior year of high school. And I'm like, he's totally throwing a pick on the first possession.
That also feels like a stat. I know this is dumb. That also describes to me the world's softest quarterback. Like, sometimes, dude, you got to let it rip and you put the ball in harm's way.
I'll say this. So he played at Bishop Gorman.
Vegas. They're so much better than ever.
They were the national champions his senior year.
They would compete in the MAC.
Like, that team was insane his senior year. And then he didn't start last year. So he started he started the last game of the season. So the number's a little skewed, but it's just like, oh my God. you know.
Yeah, but Gorman's so good, even if he's not starting, he's still probably playing a half.
No, no, no. What I'm saying is he didn't start last year at Hawaii.
Okay, okay. I'm with you. Okay, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I mean, it's I'm excited for it. It's going to be a whiteout. The helmets are just – ugh. The helmets tomorrow that you see on CBS are glorious. They're white. It's got the H on one side. It's got the Hawaii logo on the other side, the state of Hawaii. I mean, it is as clean of a helmet. I actually tweeted it out. It is as clean of a helmet that is out there. It is. I just say this, man. Like they have a lot of riding on this game, and that's what certainly makes me nervous, right?
Because, yes, because sometimes the teams can come out tight because they know, hey, man, this is a big one. All right, man, you're good enough to join us. Yeah. I know it's super early out there, but good luck this weekend and safe travels back home, man.
All right, brother. Talk to you on Tuesday.
Tim Murray of VSiN. When we come back, let's go to the SEC, and we'll go around the country in college football. Let's talk about it with Blake Topmeyer when he joins us next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full-body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including ARC. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Blake Topmeyer is the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. He's also the host of SEC Football Unfiltered. You can hear episodes available each and every week wherever you get your podcasts. Follow him on X at B Topmeyer. Blake, do you think a 24 or a 28 team playoff sounds better?
I think they both sound terrible, and maybe we just advance this to 136 team playoff where
the
everybody
Coach K
gains entry.
Remember when Coach K, in the COVID year, when they were going to miss the tournament, and he made a motion to have everybody make the tournament?
Yeah, that's where this seems like it's heading, right? I mean, really what this is, a 24-28 team playoff, it's just kind of a rebrand of Tony Petitti's obsession with playoff games. Like, this just sort of incorporates the play-in games as part of the official tournament, and instead of, you know, having them outside the tournament and calling them play-in games. So I thought it was a bad idea before. I think it's a bad idea now. I think it's going to be dead in the water. And really, with the SEC changing its conference schedule for 2026 and beyond, the Big Ten sort of losing its leg to stand on in any arguments against the 5+11 model.
I was thinking about it this way. I know you can't actually do this, but let's do it as a thought experiment. If the House settlement didn't exist, do you actually think we'd be considering expanding the playoff, or do you think we'd be doing what we've done in the past, which is, all right, we've got this 12-team format. Let's see how it goes. Let's keep getting some data. If we need to tweak it. It just feels to me like everything is based upon we've got to create more revenue right now.
Well, I do think it's based upon we got to create more revenue. I guess I disagree that we wouldn't be doing this if not for the House settlement. I think the House settlement makes for a convenient excuse or rationalization to what I think they would have done all along, which is pursue more revenue. Because now, okay, maybe they can say it's a necessity because of House, but there are other things that they could do to prevent this necessity. And even if you didn't have House, I think they would want more revenue for the reasons that they've always wanted more revenue, which is to stuff it in their own pockets. So I think they would be looking at expansion for regardless. It's just that is now added as an explainer to maybe why this is necessary. But there are other things too. Like, I think once coaches got a taste of the bigger playoff and saw how many more teams it brought into the equation this past year, now you have that next layer of coaches that are wondering, and not just coaches, but ADs and presidents that are wondering, like, well, what about us, right? Like, oh, well, we might have a hard time getting into the top 12, but if it were 16 or 24, we could join the party. And so I think seeing that play out with the 12-team playoff, and you had several first-time qualifiers, you now have that next rank wondering, how big do we need to get this thing so that we can be part of the party?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, because how many coaches think realistically, if we flip one game, we're in? Because, you know what I mean? Like, that's like what it really boils down to is, and again, a lot of times those coaches ignore the fact that you could have probably flipped a game in the other direction. But
right.
But they sit there and go, you know, I would imagine, you know, in the SEC, well, we know if you flip one game for Alabama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss, their seasons are different. But in the Big Ten, you know, if you think about it, if Illinois probably flips a game, maybe they're in that conversation. In the Big 12, about half the teams, if you flip one game, they're back in the conversation. And I can see where that's intoxicating. I guess the other question I had is, was that serious? Like, I know they said, hey, this is, what was their terminology? Napkin, back of the napkin math or whatever. Like, they were acknowledging this was the idea, but they did present it, or Tony Petitti presented it to the Big Ten ADs, and they all said, yep, sounds good, present that. Like, was that really a serious offer? Did they think that was going to go through?
I think it was semi-serious. I sort of... you know, you mentioned this back of the napkin narrative that's sort of been floated as, I think, cover for the Big Ten. And I kind of reject that narrative because, to your point, like, back of the napkin ideas usually don't leave the room where the napkin is.
Right.
You know, that's what back of the napkin ideas are. I mean, it's sort of like ludicrous things that you doodle out during meetings, but they never escape the meeting room.
It's a workshop.
They're workshopping. They're never leaving the workshop. They're not ready to be presented to the world. This was leaked far and wide and was presented to the world. It was floated as a legitimate, well, we don't think it's legitimate, but it was floated as a semi-rational idea. So it jumped the shark from going to something doodled out on a napkin during a meeting among Big Ten minds to, hey, we've kind of cooked up something here. Let's see if it sticks. And so, yeah, I think that's where, you know, we can all sit here and say, everybody has all these back of the napkin ideas, right? So what's so crazy about this, you know, this one? Well, what's crazy about this one is it advanced beyond the napkin outside the room where the napkin was and into the ecosystem, only to be swatted down in a matter of minutes.
Well, I mean, reportedly, Petiti took it to Sankey. It's like, what's the difference?
Correct.
It was serious enough, and again, I understand this could be... Everyone does the whole, well, this could have been leveraged to get what they really wanted, and look, this week, they got the ninth SEC game. It's like, I don't think those two things are related. There's no way a 24-28 team playoff idea is what all of a sudden got Greg to be like, you know what, this is going to get my people on board finally. He's wanted the ninth game forever.
He wanted a ninth game forever, and people that believe the SEC acquiesced on a ninth game because the Big Ten floated a 2018 team playoff, like they're not even in the right area code of reality. The SEC added a ninth conference game, not as an acquiesce to the Big Ten. They added a ninth conference game because they wanted to add a ninth conference game, because their off-season propaganda campaign to get the College Football Playoff Committee to tweak how it evaluates records, how it evaluates strength of schedule, worked. And it is not coincidence that 2 days after the playoff committee announced that it would be changing the way it evaluates strength of schedule, it would be adding a strength of record component, it would be devaluing cupcake results, and it would be minimizing the penalty for losing to good teams. It is not a coincidence that 2 days later, the SEC then added its ninth conference game. So, yeah, I mean, up in Big Ten.
May I throw in one other factor?
Yeah.
Because I honestly think it was more than – I actually am not even buying the narrative about the strength of record, the new metrics, if you will. I am buying the ESPN doubled the money. This summer they were offering two and a half.
I think it was twofold, though. I do think – yeah, this has been about money for years.
Yeah.
But I do think if push came to shove, could the SEC gotten more money a year ago? I think that's plausible. Like I think it is a companion deal. It's the money plus gaining some clarity that the SEC felt that they needed on the playoff. That wasn't insignificant, the playoff tweak. But the fact that this was just the SEC bowing to some Big Ten pressure campaign. That's not what happened here. I think if the SEC wouldn't have gotten the dollar signs and wouldn't have gotten the change that it desired from the playoff committee, I don't care what the Big Ten would have done. I think the SEC would have stayed at eight conference games.
Yeah, I'm with you. But, I mean, the fact that they are going to nine, I think all of us can celebrate it. I know you've written about it. Hey,
yeah.
Now, don't fret everyone. We're still going to make sure we keep the FCS ecosystem going. I'm going to sure those games are going to stick. I will say what did surprise me a little bit was the SEC announcing, in addition to the ninth conference game, they're going to keep the additional Power 4 game, or you know, however they're going to define it, Power 4 game, unless you get into a bind and then you need to schedule Washington State, you can do so. That kind of took me by surprise, because that's also a, hey, Big Ten, I know a lot of them do play an extra Power game, but it's not required.
That was huge. And when I saw that announcement hit my inbox yesterday, that was the first thing I was looking for, was, is the SEC going to ditch its requirement to play a big boy in the non-conference schedule? And that was sort of the news that kind of people were missing a little bit at first. And I get it, right? Like, I mean, this ninth conference game has been debated for years and years and years. They constantly kick the can down the road. But that was the huge piece of it, I thought, was the portion of the announcement that said membership will continue to be required to play a non-conference big boy for a total of 10 Power 4 games, plus Notre Dame counts. 10 Power 4 games, though, at a minimum. Teams can choose to schedule more than 10, but they are required now to have 10 Power 4 opponents, and that caps the number of cupcakes at two. Whereas, as you said, in the Big Ten, teams have the option, and several of them are now pursuing this option. It is not the majority, but it is now up to several Big Ten teams that are pursuing the option of playing three cupcake games in a season and playing no non-conference
big boys. Now, the SEC, the Big Ten's argument had been, well, hey, the SEC only plays 8 conference games, and some of them play 3 cupcakes, so why can't we do that? Okay, sure. But now the SEC has changed its scheduling, and it sort of, I think, puts the Big Ten on its back foot a little bit and says, like, how are they going to respond, if at all, now? And as well with the ACC, right?
Yep.
The ACC now becomes the last Power Four conference that that plays just 8 conference games. So it puts them a little bit back-footed as well.
Yeah, and I know that Dellinger also had the report that if the SEC does go through, the ACC will probably follow suit, but they've not made it official. So I'm with you now. Like, it puts even more pressure on them because, you know, your league top to bottom isn't even as strong as the other two. I was thinking about this. How long do we have to wait until the griping about which schools get which permanent opponents?
Well, not at all, because that started 2 years ago when Nick Saban's still a coach, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was already griping.
Oh, no, people have been griping. Back in the good old days of the 2 divisions with 6 teams each, before it even went to, oh, man. Because you'd have some teams, you know, that was before they had, most teams had 2 permanent cross-division opponents, and oh, man, the whining was just excellent.
Well, right, and in Tennessee for years whined that it got Alabama as its crossover opponent annually, and Auburn could whine that it got Georgia as its crossover opponent, while, you know, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss.
Well, it was a historic rivalry, Blake. You don't understand. There's a lot of history between those two programs.
So I've heard. That's going to happen, right? And what's interesting is there will be some variance in the toughness of those collections of 3 teams that are assigned as permanent rivals. Where I think the variance will be a lot less drastic is if you look at each 9-game conference mashup in totality, right? Which is really what's
most relevant. I'm with you. This has always been my argument. And I understand some years it won't work out this way because there's going to be a rotational element to it. But if you have 3 tougher permanent opponents, that means you have a wider range in your choice of 6 of bad opponents. Like, it all kind of, it all tends to net out in the end.
That's totally right. I mean, you have to have an IQ of a certain base level to understand that argument. And maybe that's where some folks go awry here. That's exactly right. Like, if you're drawing 3 big boys as your rivals, or like 2.5, a big boy and then somebody else that's got half a pulse, that means you've got all the weaklings available to draw as your rotational opponents. And so, right, I think that's the whole thing, is there will be some variance in a 9-game conference schedule, as there always is.
Yeah.
Is anybody seeing?
I mean, this was the point last year. Remember, all the coaches were griping about, this is what's confused me. All the coaches behind the scenes were whining about Texas's schedule last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, where's the pre-whining about Texas's schedule this year? Is it just because they flipped locations? Is it really that different?
Yeah, and here's the thing. The coaches are going to whine about which 3 rivals they get assigned.
100%.
But here's the other element that requires a certain baseline of IQ. The higher percentage of the overall conference that you play, the less variance from one schedule to another in terms of relative strength. So adding a 9th conference game, I don't care who your 3 rivals are, playing a higher percent, each team playing a higher percentage of the conference will decrease, not fully, but it will decrease the variance from one schedule to the next. I mean, you know, let's play it out. If you played 100% of your conference, if everybody did that, there would be no variance in conference strength of schedule,
Blake, that's just not true. If you got to play Vanderbilt late in the season, that was too easy. That was always my favorite. It was when then people wouldn't argue about whose opponents they had because the opponents were the same. It was when they played them in the season. That team was a lot better early.
Yeah, and
I always love that one.
Home road type arguments of, you know, you're right. The arguments would continue. I heard one from a fan in the Big Ten land yesterday about how the SEC has it easier because they don't play a lot of non-conference games west of the Mississippi River. And I thought, I mean, I'm someone who grew up very close to the Mississippi River, and I thought, what makes the Mississippi River so special, and what makes everybody on the west side of it so tough? I mean, you know, is anyone really particularly afraid to march into Rose Bowl Stadium and play UCLA in front of a friends and family crowd? Like, not exactly a hostile environment there. I think that's not quite so tough as playing Clemson on the road in Death Valley, east of the Mississippi River. But people come up with whatever arguments that kind of suit their league.
I kind of like that one because that really is some, like, galaxy brain. Because I know what the argument – they want to make the argument that they don't play east of the Mississippi or west of the Mississippi. But now that you have the Texas schools in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri – it's like that technically crosses the Mississippi River, so you've got to really start to shoehorn that argument.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Tennessee tried to play west of the Mississippi, and then Nebraska ducked them.
Yeah.
And,
this should have been the argument. SEC schools don't change time zones enough.
Yeah, and that's what it was. Like, yeah. It was almost like this backhanded way of saying, like, well, Oregon's got it tough because they have to fly across a couple time zones and play Rutgers. And it's like, well, okay, nobody forced them to do that. They chose to.
They literally begged to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, I get that cross-country travel's hard. I do it for work sometimes. We've all done it. But I'd still rather fly across the country and play Rutgers, or I'd rather be Ohio State flying across the country and playing UCLA on the road than play a road game at night at LSU when maybe I can ride on a bus to the game. I'd rather fly cross country and play in front of the friends and family crowd at UCLA than take that short drive to Tiger Stadium and play in front of 100,000 people that have been sucking down hooch all day.
Am I missing all the times Ohio State's gone to play Fresno? Like, I was trying to, if the argument is the non-conference west of the Mississippi, it's like, yeah, I know that Michigan will play Fresno in Ann Arbor, but, like, I'm missing all the times that those were home and homes.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, and I don't really.
I love a good college football. Like, you know, like, because that person, you know, thought as soon as it fired it off, nailed it.
Oh yeah, they got him. Got him. Uh huh. Yeah, and here we are talking about it, although more as poking fun at the argument than giving credence to it.
All right, what else interests you? I did enjoy. For those that don't know, I told the story yesterday that Blake and I had a very nice, relatable moment. Blake, growing up as a solid Midwesterner, loves his Bush Light, just like our Iowa State brethren. But he found the Farmer's Can. Not only did he find the Farmer's Can, found it in the 24-pack. And I related it to when I found a beer that when I was living overseas that was my favorite beer ever, and I found it in a Publix, and my wife was like, "You've never looked at me like that," and that was a nice awkward moment for both of us. But she was not as excited. But I was thinking about it in these terms. Yeah, I'm not acting like tomorrow's the start of college football. I'll have it on. It's going to be my daughter's birthday party. I'm not going to prevent anyone from watching that. I hope my wife knows that, but at this point, she's pretty much accepted that reality. But it is an interesting game because,
yeah,
you know, it feels like anytime you get teams that are in the top half of the Big 12, this could have implications on who actually represents the playoff for them.
Yeah, it's, you get two playoff contenders squaring off. I mean, I think it's fair to call both Iowa State and Kansas State that, because, you know, you're going to have one representative at a minimum from the Big 12, and either of these teams could win the conference, and here we have a conference game out of the gate. I mean, I agree with you. Like, this almost feels like a big week of the NFL preseason,
yeah,
if you will. The difference is these games actually count, but in terms of, like, just the general feel of it, it doesn't. That's kind of what you were nodding to there. Like, it doesn't feel like this is actually the start of the season, but there is some buzz around it. And in that way, I guess it feels like a big NFL preseason type of situation, even though these games count. I'm kind of like you. Like, I'll be particularly interested in Farmageddon, and I am glad that I got my Farmer's Can,
yep,
shortly before Farmageddon. That just felt right. Felt like a gift from the gods there, the corn gods and the football gods. But beyond that, yeah, it's That's the thing about week zero is,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive. Combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.